You know, one of the most stressful parts of business for a lot of entrepreneurs is looking at the books. Even sometimes I don't like to look at where money's going, but if you plan to have a profitable business, you probably should be at least taking a peek at it once in a while. Ian Price Murphy is a mastery level practitioner of Profit First Bookkeeping, a program designed to give you full transparency and insights on where your money is going and how to think in terms of driving more profit for your company. On today's episode, we talk about the mindset that goes into creating such a business and the effects of engineering your environment to force yourself into being more successful. It's a relaxing yet energetic mix of mindfulness, brain hacking, financing, and spreadsheets, but most of all, Moxie, which is great because that's the name of our business. If you hate numbers but know you need awesome bookkeeping, reach out to Ian by Googling Moxie Bookkeeping and find her on LinkedIn and Facebook. Let's pivot into the episode now. That's a spreadsheet joke. It sounded better in my head. Anyway, here we go. Always a pleasure talking with fellow business owners and selfishly making sure that I'm not on crack, because there's some things about owning a business that I'm like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing half the time. And I'm like, maybe I'm not the only one. So if everybody else around me has got things figured out, then it's like, great. So, well, excellent. Well, how, like, tell me a little bit about what your company does. I know you're in bookkeeping, obviously, but like, you know.
Yeah, but what does bookkeeping even mean anymore?
I know, right? It's such an overloaded term, right?
Yes. That's my tomorrow topic in my Facebook group is like, bookkeeping is a dying industry. Good riddance.
Yeah.
So we describe ourselves as profit first bookkeepers because bookkeeping is still kind of, in my opinion, the best word for what we do. Because if we call ourselves accountants, then people think we do taxes. And I have to say, no, we're management accountants. And people go, well, what's that? I go, it's bookkeeping.
Okay.
So we sort of live at the senior level of bookkeeping. You know, it's a long journey of how we got where we are now, but what we do is we provide the second set of eyes. So if you're doing your own bookkeeper, if you have a VA doing your bookkeeping, if you have a bookkeeper that you're just like, I don't really know what's happening because it's still just all like the matrix trickling in front of me when I get my reports.
Yeah.
Then we step in and can help sort of clarify the structure so that the books are set up to answer the questions that you're actually asking rather than just the default chart of accounts. And then we also implement people in the Profit First cash management system to help them from getting stuck thinking that bookkeeping should produce a magic that it can't produce, since, you know, all accounting is really rear view mirror rather than front view. And that's what small businesses really need. So, you know, to me, that's sort of I describe it as like bookkeeping and Profit First is the beans and rice. Like, yeah, they're great separately, but together they make something magic.
Yeah.
The Profit First cash management system is like the headlights that show you down the road. So it answers all of the questions that people are always asking their bookkeeper and accountant. Okay, great. Like, I see the report. And even if I understand it, the question is always, can I afford to blah, blah, blah? Can I afford to hire another person? Can I afford to try a new product line? Can I afford to do this or do that? And that's not bookkeeping, right? So what happens is that bookkeepers, even myself up to only a few years ago, would look at your reports and go, well, you know, I think so, because if we do this here, and kind of hem and haw, because we don't really know, because we're not sure if you're going to go out tomorrow and do something wacky with your money that would throw the whole thing off. And then we'd have to, you know, make another giant multi-tab Excel spreadsheet with pivot tables to tell you what's happening. So that was where I sort of stumbled across this Profit First thing. One of my clients, I work primarily with creatives, you know, because they know that they don't like the money stuff. I have a subset of that in photographers who love math, are totally fine with numbers. That's what they do all day with their lenses and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But they recognize like, this is not this is not where I should be spending my time. I should be out there getting sales and producing and, you know, doing the thing my business is about. So anyway, so one of my clients said, I read this really cool book. It answered a lot of my questions. I think you should read it. And I had to read it twice because the first time I read it, I thought, well, gee, that's dumb. Why wouldn't you just look at your reports? Because I'm a bookkeeper and I love looking at reports.
Obviously, right? I mean.
Yes. But then I was like, oh, but not everybody does. Like, that's why I have a job. Let me read this again. And when I read through it again, I realized that the system that the author, Mike Michalowicz, was putting forward was a system I was already using in my personal life, which was like the money I didn't want to think about and deal with because I wanted to think about all the business stuff. Mm-hmm. And it boils down to just give every dollar a job, give every dollar a home. So separate out your money by purpose and then put it in different bank accounts so that when you look at your bank balance, you actually can spend everything that's in there because that's the bank balance that you're looking at is the I can spend everything in your account. And you already have money set aside for taxes, for your pay, for growth, all that fun stuff.
Okay. So it's kind of like, is that kind of like the envelope system? Have you heard of that? Where you like,
I have.
Yeah. You get a paycheck and it's like, okay, 35 of that goes toward a vacation, 37.50 goes toward a new car or whatever. And then, you know, you just look in your envelope and well, I don't have enough money to do the thing. So I got to save up more.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Again, it's been around forever. Yeah. The only sort of adjustment, and I don't even know that this is necessarily new either, is that it's based on percentage. So that as your business income rises and falls for seasonality or global pandemics, that the amount you're allocating is also very responsive. And that to me is the magic because again, what I was doing in my personal life was cutting up by dollars because that's the way that banks work. And because I had a relatively steady paycheck amount. Mm-hmm. Being able to do it by percentage lets me say, oh, you know, I know that my overhead is, I don't know, $1,000 a month, and I'm only putting in $500 right now. Okay, that means I'm drawing down on my cushion and I need to make a change now, which gives you like a way better runway than, oh crap, there's nothing in there.
That feeling, oh my goodness, I'm probably up to like 7 crap your pants moments in my career where I'm like, actually, no, I think it's 17. Now that I think about it, I don't know why I said 7. I downplayed it, but it's like,
and you get to that point. You were thinking 2021.
Yeah. 7 this year. Yes. Right. You know, my career total is like off the charts. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool that you take a very forward thinking view toward bookkeeping. I mean, I think a lot of people would be like, oh, bookkeeping is boring. It's dry. And it's like, yeah, sometimes, but I mean, not everybody handles it that way. Right. So you make it sounds like you make it fun. You make bookkeeping fun.
I try.
Yeah.
I mean, and the boring, dry stuff is all getting automated these days, which is fantastic.
I know. Right. That's like the language of my people. I automate the heck out of things. I automate even podcasting. I'm like, yay, this is me, by the way. You're literally talking to the actual Fritz. Just so you know, but the one, the only, the legend. How did you decide to go this direction? Like, how did you decide to start this up?
In terms of the bookkeeping in the first place, or just the profit first D stuff?
Let's do both. We got time.
Let's do both.
Do both.
So I fell into bookkeeping. I did not intend to be a bookkeeper. I don't think there are very many little girls or little boys in the world who wake up in third grade and go, I want to be a bookkeeper. Maybe there's something for everybody out there. So I always thought that I wanted to be a teacher. And that was actually what I went to college for. And then I did my senior internship in college at a last stop high school on the Lower East Side of New York City, which was like brutal.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realized that I was nowhere near prepared for that kind of environment and wasn't really going to be very effective there and was like, get me out. So yeah, so that was that. And so I just sort of like, you know, I had a liberal arts degree. What else are you going to do with that? So I thought, well, you know, I'll do some acting. I'll do some bartending. I'll do a little of this and a little of that and like patch together a wonderful life of, you know, hard work and passion, because I've been sold that line of work hard and the money will come, or follow your passion and the money will come. No, did not happen for me.
And the American dream didn't work out for you? Amazing.
I know.
Surprise. Wonder of wonders. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's just, it's adorable to me that I ever thought that it would, you know? So I, in my 20s, found myself so far in debt just from buying gas and groceries, really, that it was going to take me the rest of my life to pay out that debt at my current underpaid wage. And I declared bankruptcy. And that was like, you know, a shock to the foundation of my core values, which is all about dependability and, you know, all that stuff, which I still hold. But I had to realize at that point, like, the game was rigged and I didn't know it. And that had I been financially literate, I would have been able to see all of those warning signs. You know, it's not just, oh, go work harder. You know, it's that if you're in a crap job making crap tips and, you know, your hourly wage is 65 cents an hour and you've got a bad shift and nobody tips you, like, there's no way you're going to be able to afford even the most basic lifestyle.
Right.
So my deal with myself is I'm never doing that again. And so I wanted to take control over both my financial literacy and my own income. And so I started bookkeeping, because I'd been working for a woman who had hired me as a receptionist for her business. And I ended up being her office manager and learning bookkeeping. And, you know, when we tried to renegotiate my wage, she offered me a quarter more than she was paying me as a receptionist. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't work for me. So I had this very incredible wake-up moment. And that was what started me on the path of bookkeeping. And so it was, you know, trying to make sure that no one ever ended up where I was, trying to figure out why I ended up where I was, and trying to build a life out of that. And that was, you know, incredibly successful. I now have 10 employees. We're all over the US, blah, 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 blah. And then the profit, yeah, I know, I was successful, blah, blah, blah. but it's, you know, it's funny because it's been almost 20 years since I hired my first employee. So it's now felt very normal to me to not have financial stress. And I have to remind myself how unbearable that was at the time. And that I really just didn't know the way out. You know, there was a door right behind me that I didn't know how to see. So, and so part of that process is in working with small business and being really dedicated to not having entrepreneurs live in poverty and not having them not recognize when they weren't charging enough or making enough or any of that stuff. I was always looking for those answers. You know, every time I would get asked a question that I couldn't answer, I'd be like, well, I have to go figure that out now. Because, you know, not only do my clients need that, but I probably need that too. And so that's how it developed. And then, like I said, one of my clients introduced me to the book Profit First. And that was a game changer, that even though I was super well organized and on top of my books and, you know, doing okay, I was still doing a lot of the classic tricks that business owners do of, oh, well, if I've got extra money, I'm going to reinvest it, without realizing that what I'm doing is, oh, I've got food on my plate, so let me take the bite out of my mouth and throw it in the garbage. Like, no, that was profit. And then you spent it and now it's an expense and you can't get that back. So I was able to double my take-home pay by just getting clarity about where the money was going and being more intentional about, if I want to attend this conference or this trade show, that means I'm choosing to skip a paycheck. Do I really want to skip a paycheck? No, I don't. So yeah, I love it.
Awesome. I can tell you love it. And it seems like a lot of the stuff that we, like, when I hear this, it seems like common sense. Like, everybody should know this. Everybody should have been taught this in school, you know? And it just, I guess it takes life experience to come around to that and say, you know, yeah, you learned it the hard way, but it's like, why are we taught this stuff as kids? I wasn't taught anything about this kind of stuff when I was a kid. Mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. That's what I learned. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really, that's a whole other conversation that we're not going to get into, but
yeah,
how elementary school really should be around learning how to find the information that you want, mm-hmm. you know, learning how to read, learning how to make stuff, learning how to fix stuff, learning how to grow stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like mitochondria can wait till college. There's no,
I know, right. My wife and I mean, I know you're in the education background. You've had that experience. My wife and I, so my wife, she got a degree in music education, and I got degrees in nerd stuff. And so, you know, over the years we've homeschooled our girls, and there's just a marked difference, like how we go about teaching them and kind of tuning into like what they're really good at, what their gifts are, how they're wired, and customizing it. But yeah, we focus on the major stuff, like here's how to write a check in a checkbook, and here's how to balance it, and here's how to, you know, make dinner, you know, that kind of thing. And we're making our mark, you know, doing the best we can, but, you know, almost got to pull them out of a system in order to figure out like how to educate them properly. Right. Well, what have you learned about yourself on this journey? I imagine you seem to be a very detail oriented person. Have you noticed things or changes about yourself as you?
Absolutely. I've noticed that mindset is a huge piece of it. Mm-hmm. And some people really need to change their mindset so that they can change other things. I'm someone who needs to change the system so that my mind will believe that it's possible. And, you know, so I am a California native, but I spent 30 years in Brooklyn because I'm like allergic to some of the wooey or woo stuff. But I also know that like some of it is in fact based in neuroscience. And so finding that middle road where, you know, yoga is really just about movement and stretching and breathing and really doesn't have to be about chanting or anything religious at all.
Yeah.
That kind of detracts from that in my opinion, but whatever. You know, and so that's what I'm always looking for is how can I let my mindset help me rather than get in my way, because that's got to happen. So I just know that for myself, I have to feed myself some evidence in order to be like, okay, I see how that works. Now I'm willing to go on that journey with you, little brain.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So you're engineering your environment to make yourself more successful.
Yeah.
I like that. That's like it's like a huge mind hack. I don't think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people are just like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to make my brain work. But it's like when you're actively engineering your surroundings in order to make yourself more successful, it's like, so I don't think, I don't know many people that do that. That's pretty unique. Like what, walk me through it. I'm curious, like what's an example where you have like, okay, brain, I know you need to do this. And so here's what I'm going to do to my environment. Like, do you just misplace things on your desk to make you like, oh, what the heck? Or like, what's it look like?
Well, so I think of myself as a very disorganized person.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to emote out loud. I said that out loud.
Yeah. But right. And so people always, you know, the most organized people that I know are at their hearts complete chaos.
Yeah.
So for years, and now I have a car that doesn't need a key. It's just got the weird fob thing that starts when mm-hmm. you're in it. Freaks me out a little. I'm still looking for the key. But before I had that, I had literally a push pin by the front door. And that's where my keys went. Because if my keys were not on that push pin, they could be in India or down the street or in my pocket. Like it could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. Became, you know, so I had to put these structures into place so that I wouldn't spend all day, where are my keys? Where's this? Where? Blah, blah, blah. And I think that's part of it is having, you know, I mean, whatever you can automate to give your poor brain a break from having to think about all the stuff that really shouldn't be taking time to think. And that then helps me have more, you know, I'm never going to be on time if I can't find my keys. So let's just make a system for the keys. But I also think, you know, just talking about, I have no willpower, none, nothing. So I have to put these external things into place so that I do things. So I have a standing appointment with one of my colleagues who is, you know, another bookkeeper in a different state where, you know, we'll each purchase online courses or be reading books or want to watch a YouTube thing or whatever it is, we have a standing Wednesday appointment for 1 hour. And what we do is we watch our stuff, because otherwise it wouldn't happen. And even that had to happen, because even when I calendared it, there'd be some reason that something else was more important. So, you know, I kind of have this like escalating tiers of, can I manage myself? No. Okay, fine. Who's going to be my buddy?
Yeah.
So that someone's holding me accountable, being like, where are you? Right. And that just works for everything. The gym, work stuff, reading stuff, watching stuff, and just, you know, taking the choice away, because this is just what we're doing now. And then it becomes really easy.
Yep. It's almost like I have never done like freehand rock climbing. I know I probably look like the type, but I'm not. I'm scared of heights. But I know that some of the best rock climbers are the ones that are willing to get themselves into an uncomfortable place on purpose, where now they're like, holy gee whiz, I got to get myself out of this, because they got themselves into it, right? And it's like, well, you dingus, what'd you do that for? But you know what? They actually get themselves out. And it strengthens them, and it strengthens their resolve in their mind, because they realize, hey, now I just learned something about myself. I didn't think I was capable of it, but I proved myself wrong, and I didn't fall to my death. How cool is that? So sounds
pretty cool.
Well, it sounds like a less folly way of doing that is, you know, what you're saying is just get yourself into an uncomfortable place. And it's like, well, now I have no choice but to succeed. So that's really cool. I need to take that away. That's like one of my key takeaways. I do that myself in my own life, and it works wonders. Like, I find sometimes overcommitting to things, and it's like, well, great. Now I've got all these, like, I don't know, podcasts to do. I've got like 25 podcasts I'm doing this week alone, and great. Well, what an opportunity to figure something out. So woohoo, we'll get there.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the best goals are the ones where even if you don't achieve the final gold star, you've made so much progress and the journey has been so fun that, like, it's okay. You know, like, to me, those are the best goals, because otherwise you just get there and you're like, okay, cool. Yeah. I free climbed to the top of Half Dome. That is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
But still, then, you know, even that guy was like, what's next? And so being able to say whatever it is, you know, whatever stage you're at, and making sure that until you're that good, you are in fact cabled to the rock, right? Like, there's ways to just, I'm running with your metaphor. I apologize.
It's okay. It's there's public. Ways you can use it.
There's ways to challenge yourself safely, right? And be uncomfortable to stretch into that growth zone, versus setting yourself up for failure, which a lot of people will do on purpose too, right? Oh, now I don't have to ever think about it again because I tried that once and it didn't work. So yeah, I mean, mindset, whatever your particular quirk is, finding a way to work with it and get it to work with you and for you rather than against you.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. Well, I've got one final question before we wrap up for the day. Is there any sage advice that you would offer for people? Like, if they're just starting out on their entrepreneurial journey, be like, what would that be? I wonder.
I would remind them that wisdom without action is folly. So I think it's great to go listen and learn and watch and read as much as you can, because there's some fantastic information out there. But if you aren't finding a way to implement what you just learned, if you're not finding a way to incorporate that new information, you just wasted your time.
Yeah. You're just consuming information without it actually having an effect on you. So, well, great. Now I've got all these audiobooks that I have listened to, and I'm like, am I applying what I learned? I'm going to have to listen to them again and make sure I'm actually applying it. But yeah, I mean, we live in a society where, yeah, people will pack rat information just for the sake of saying, yeah, I have this. And bookshelves are just littered with books that nobody's really read. It's just there for show. I see you have a book on your shelf there, Profit First. Is that you wrote
That's
that?
The book. I didn't write this. This is the book. I have another copy here. This is the book that I use in my system. So when I talk about the envelope system that I use, it's Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. Another audio book for your audio book, but this is the one that outlines the system.
Nice.
And then what I do is I'm a licensed Profit First mastery level certified person. So if you read the book and you're like, cool, I don't like numbers, I don't want to do that, can I have someone guide me through this process? Ta-da, that's me.
There we go. And we can just get people in touch with you. And how do you pronounce your first name? Is it
Ian?
Is Ian. Okay. I wondered and I'm like, nah, it's probably not Ian. It's probably something else.
It is. My parents were hippies.
That's okay. So were mine. They named me Michael for some reason. I didn't even get a cool name like Starfire Moonchild or something like that. Michael. It's like, okay, we'll roll with it. Well, how would people reach out to you if they are listening to this and they're like, wow, I hate numbers. She's talking about me. Like, how would they reach you? You have a website, I assume?
We have a website. I mean, Google's probably the easiest thing to do. If you Google either my name, Ian Price Murphy, or Moxie Bookkeeping, we should pop right up. We've got a website. We've got a Facebook group. We're on LinkedIn. We do a group program once a quarter for Profit First Training. We'll have one in April. So if you'd rather come co-learn, which I think is actually a way better experience, and really helps through break through some of that, like, I can't talk about my stuff. You know, what will people think? We don't talk in numbers. We talk in percentages. So it's just a fantastic way to do some peer learning as well as get some good guidance on how to clear up the money stuff, break through that uncertainty, stop flying by the seat of your pants, and become profitable.
Excellent. Well, I love profit. I love profit. My business partner is Jewish and he has like drilled some things into me that I'm like, I never thought of finances quite this way. So he knows his stuff and I'm learning from everybody that I talk with that are in the finance sector. And this has been some really cool things. Engineer your environment to hack your brain into doing what you wanted it to do the whole time. I want to remember that. I'd write it on my hand, but my hand's only so big. I need to print it out on a piece of paper. Well, listen, it's been excellent talking with you today, Miss Ian. And I really appreciate you taking the time to first track me down on Matchmaker, I think is where we met, and then to hop on and do an episode with me. But you're part of the family. You know, I'm building like a really small network, a growing network of people that are just really good at what they do and they want to share the message with the world. So you're part of that. Welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Very
Make
cool.
Make sure to put me in touch with the other folks that you've already gathered. I always love a good circle of people.
There we go. Well, I will have this ready very soon and I'll get it pushed up and as soon as it is scheduled to go live. I get these pushed out the first of every month. So it's going to be a mad dash to get it done. But I think my automation is going to hold up. It's still got a few miles left on the odometer, but we'll get there.
Great.
But as soon as I get that wrapped up, then I will send you an email and you can go fling the information around on the interwebs for the world to hear. Okay.
Sounds great.
All righty. Well,
thanks for having me on. It was super fun.
It was super fun. I learned a lot. Well, take care and have a good rest of the day. All right.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.